Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week, just like the show we'll be talking about, we'll be bringing back from the dead the topical nature of The Walking Dead in our Season 4 Part 2 review, which is a couple of weeks overdue.
Mm. Or as AMC likes to call it, AMC's The Walking Dead.
Now, I'm perfectly happy to throw Matt under the bus whenever I feel like he's done something wrong or he hasn't watched a show or a movie yet. This one's on me. Been a little busy moving all the way to the other side of the world. There's a surprising amount of bureaucratic red tape to get through. So my Walking Dead time has been sort of cut into, but I'm back, I'm on it, and we're ready to give this thing a screen verdict review.
There have been rumors that, with you moving, the screen verdict might be coming to an end.
Oh. Vicious, unsubstantiated, will be followed up with by lawsuit rumors that I really have nothing to... I think the fact that some certain pictures, some certain screen verdict merchandise has been popping up on the internet that you might be able to get your hands on very soon is a testament to the strength of Screen Verdict.
Yeah, no, there have been a lot of photos circling around the internet of us.
Ryan Gosling and Macaulay Culkin have been taking our lead with our Screenception t-shirts, which you can check out at facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I thought that's good, because I think of our podcast, I think I'm quite like Ryan Gosling and you're quite like Macaulay Culkin. So it's quite fitting.
I think somewhere inside that Screenception, you've got things turned around. The dream is not quite the reality.
Oh, come on, man. Nothing wrong with Macaulay Culkin. He's in, Home Alone and stuff. Okay, so, pretty popular movie.
Back on topic. The Walking Dead. We did a Season 4 Part 1 review, so they split the 16-episode season into two parts. We reviewed the first 8, now we're going to review the last 8. Matt, where does this part of the season start?
Well, the end of the last half of this season had the governor die.
They killed the big baddie.
Yeah, so he's like, oh no, I can't believe I've died after all these seasons on The Walking Dead, and boy, Rick was never able to get that revenge on Michonne for killing my daughter. But you know what they say, you either live and you die, or you die and you kill.
I mean, if the impression's not going to be spot on, why should the quotes be either?
It was a paraphrase. So the governor died, but he went out with a bang, taking out all of the prison, all of the sanctuary for the group, all these zombies raised. So everyone got split up. Everyone is just, I don't know, around the place, scattered, and we pretty much have sort of everyone just in sort of 2 or 3-man teams. It's sort of like an Amazing Race season of The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead, we've been around a couple seasons, you know, trying to keep it fresh. Well, you know, a show that's really shown longevity is The Amazing Race. How can we incorporate some of that show into our storyline? So the governor, still being a dick, even after he's dead, has caused all this havoc. The zombie swarm, everyone gets split up, or the walkers, because they're not called zombies in the show. The walkers have split everyone up, and we get these groups. Okay, the first group we see in the episode 1, Rick and Carl. They have a bit of a fragile relationship. It's not like a father-son team. It's a bit of a disjointed, dysfunctional relationship. Basically, Carl thinks his dad is a bit of a pussy, and Rick thinks that his kid is angsty and reckless and is going to get himself killed and doesn't respect him or listen to anything he says.
And then Rick goes to sleep for, the whole rest of the episode.
Yeah, that fight with the governor really took it out of him.
It did.
He needs a nap.
Do you think, like, Carl was a bit like, Dad, man, like, the governor, like, only has, like, one eye and he was, like, beating you up. Then, like, some chick needed to come in and save you.
Normally it's my dad's stronger than your dad, but Carl is like, my dad can't even beat up a one-eyed daughter's man. Doesn't really say. I was trying to think what's the equivalent of like a mama's boy when he was.
Oh. That's not going to catch on. That'll be trending at the end of this podcast on Twitter. Hashtag daughter's man. Does Rick need the cowboy hat back? Is it really since he gave up the cowboy hat that he's become a bit of a pussy?
I feel like that's the equivalent of wearing the pants in the relationship. It's wearing the cowboy hat. No one likes weak Rick. The audience, me, does not like weak Rick. And his own son inside the show world does not like weak Rick. So I think Rick needs to get his balls and his cowboy hat back.
Yeah. So Carl just, like, goes off on his own a bit. But then they meet up with Michonne.
Yeah, she tracks them. And when Rick finally wakes up, I guess the Michonne ringing the doorbell or whatever she does brings him out of his sleep. And
he'd been waiting for a delivery. Yeah. Like FedEx. He's like, oh, great, that could be the thing I ordered.
I'm just going to take a nap. Ring me when my Boardwalk Empire and Mad Men DVDs show up. In short, I hated this episode. Angsty Carl provides no entertainment value to me. Weak Rick provides no entertainment value for me. And that would be frustrating if they were just a part of an episode, but they had the whole episode to themselves pretty much. So I was pretty happy when Michonne showed up.
So then they go sort of off together on a bit of an adventure, Michonne, Rick, and Carl. And Michonne definitely starts getting on pretty well with Carl. They get a good friendship going. I think Carl's like, sort of like, oh, finally someone's really going to get the job done.
Finally a real father figure for me to look up to.
Yeah. And, like, Michonne's, like, a lot happier, like, than we've ever seen her before.
And Rick doesn't seem to feel threatened. He welcomes Michonne in. He's like, yeah, I guess I wasn't a good fit as Carl's dad. You, Carl, you have a new daddy now.
Yeah, so she's like, do you reckon the killing the governor's just given her a spring in her step?
Yeah, they're bonding over chocolate and her dead son.
Bit of a verging on flirtatious relationship with Carl and Michonne.
We needed a sexy older woman story showing a teenager the ropes to splice. Yeah. Days of Our Lives, another show with longevity that Walking Dead could maybe borrow from.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I guess you win the chocolate.
I really hope that was an intentional black joke.
No, it was not. It sincerely was not. So they have their thing. Do you think, like, this is really the thing, like, that became apparent in The Walking Dead? Just these pair off a guy and a girl, like, together, and they get on pretty well. Like, time makes the heart grow fonder. Like, opposite to absent makes the heart grow fonder. It seems like just, like, you like a girl more if you're forced to, like, spend a big sort of road trip with them.
Yeah. What choice do you have, really? I mean, it's pretty much the end of the world. If there's no one else around, if you remotely get along with the person, you're probably going to bond. You're probably going to get pretty close. Even if it's an annoying 14-year-old kid.
If I was Michonne, I'd maybe be going for Rick. I know, like, Rick's quite weak.
Oh, definitely.
Do you think she's spending too much time with the kid and not enough time with, like, a pretty good catch for End of the War? Even though he might not be in his prime, Rick, like, he'll probably bounce back at some point.
Screw, marry, kill. Rick, Carl, Daryl.
Screw Rick, marry Daryl, and kill Carl.
I think I would screw Daryl, marry Rick, kill Carl.
Okay, I think Daryl's going to be a good provider. Only if Daryl gets a haircut.
Yeah. Oh my god. The hair over the ears is not a good look.
If I was marrying Daryl, he would have to get a hair. I would make him get a haircut.
At the prison, I would have put less time into building vegetable patches and more time into a barber shop.
Yeah, I agree.
Pretty much everyone in this show needs a haircut.
Yeah. Maybe, though, just think about it, Rick comes with more baggage than Carl.
I feel like marrying Rick might be the self-esteem boost he needs, and he'd return to old Rick.
Yeah, just seems like he's got a lot of, like, relationship-y history, sort of like, you know, his wife's best friend was screwing her, and then he killed him, and then his wife died, and he hasn't gotten quite over that yet. Like, I don't know.
It's hard to find someone in the zombie apocalypse that doesn't have emotional baggage.
Yeah, but, like, I guess at least Carl, he's never been in a relationship before, he's not carrying around, like...
No, I'm snap-killing Carl.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, in the second episode, we get a kind of overview of lots of people. It's not just a one group episode. We get Beth and Daryl, we get Maggie, Sasha, Bob, we get the kids and Tyrese, and Carol shows up. So we'll talk about, let's start with the kids, Tyrese and Carol.
Yeah, now the kids and Tyrese are hanging out. This is fun. He's probably the least stable person still on the show, and he's stuck looking after all the kids. So this is fun. And then they bump into Carol, which I think we called. We called, who's Carol going to meet up with? Definitely Tyrese.
Because she killed his girlfriend. She thought, oh, man, there's no way people are going to survive this flu. I'm just going to kill them so the virus doesn't spread. And Tyrese is trying to find out who killed his girlfriend.
And he doesn't know. So they meet up with her. They're like, oh, Carol's here. This is great. She'll help us out.
Who just shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I felt like I was watching The Dark Knight Rises. It's like, oh, random character turns up just at the right time.
Yeah. It's a very small world, The Walking Dead. So, yeah, she rocks up. But there are heaps of questions about, oh, why did you leave? What really happened there? Like,
why did Rick kick you out of the clan?
To be fair, The Walking Dead characters don't really ask a lot of questions. That I would have nothing but questions for everyone on The Walking Dead all the time. Like... People just seem to be sitting there silently a lot, like, just a bit depressed. Like, I would be like, what, where have you come from? Like, what happened to you? Like, tell us some stories. Like, everyone's like, yeah, okay, Carol's back, whatever, just help us out. So they go along for a bit, and then they find a house.
They decide to shack up in the house. But I guess they start having problems with one of the kids.
Yeah.
When
Lizzie? Is it Lizzie?
I believe Lizzie starts treating the walkers as if they're people. Now, the kids had named them and stuff, I think, in the last season. But even the other kids, like, we were just playing right. But Lizzie seems to be convinced that, you know, that normal people are still inside the walker somehow.
And this is interesting because... Like, she's quite... She'd killed people, right? Yeah. So she sort of views, like... Sometimes she kills walkers, but she, like, justifies, like, well, that was a bad walker. Like, that was a bad guy. We can kill... Because we can kill the bad guys, but...
I would kill Hitler's walker, but I wouldn't kill Gandhi's walker.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's pretty fun. But anyway, everyone's like, no, we've just got to kill the walkers, Lizzie. She's like, yeah, okay. I guess.
But
she has a plan.
I found this frustrating to no end because I think the Walking Dead writers thought they were posing an interesting moral conundrum. Perhaps if there was just any chance that there was a person still in there, should we be not killing them, trying to save them, trying to find a cure, and it'll be morally reprehensible to be killing these walkers? No. Not in the slightest. They have shown 0.000 infinity zeros percent evidence that there's anything inside them. And these are clearly just vicious monsters just going around eating people. Why on earth this girl wanted to save them frustrated me to know. I just wanted to smack her in the face.
I agree. And I like Lizzie as a character other than that. I think I like the idea of two cute little girls who know how to use guns and like have more balls than like Rick. I like that. I think that's fun on the show.
If Chloe Grace Moretz was in The Walking Dead, huge bump.
Yeah. So I think Lizzie had the potential to be Hit Girl. She had been the Walking Dead Hit Girl, and they just went down this way. But anyway, and they've tapped into this well with the barn and things before, like, you know, should we keep walkers alive? So that wasn't very new or interesting. But she had a plan, a pretty bold plan, to change people's minds.
Yeah, she tries to play with some walkers, try and show Tyrese and Carol that there are real people, but they're not able to identify with whatever anonymous walker that is. They need to see a walker that they know, even though clearly many of their friends have been bitten and turned over the last few years. That doesn't occur to Lizzie. She needs to show them a fresh, new person that they know as a walker. So she kills her friend.
Yeah. Younger girl.
I don't know if she's a sister or a friend, but she kills the other kid. Baffling. Is evil. Stupid, evil Lizzie.
So Tyrese goes with Carol, well, this wasn't cool. She goes, oh yeah, we're going to sort something out. So she goes out and kills Lizzie.
When Lizzie was yelling at Carol, when Carol kills an anonymous walker, she said, why'd you do that? That was a mistake. Oh, she was my friend. I wish you were dead. You were dead. I actually said, I wish you would just shoot her. Just shoot that kid in the face. Then she goes and kills the other little girl. I was like, man. I mean, it's not like she's like 5 and has no concept of what she did. Like, she's about 10. She knows what she did. This girl deserves to die. But, unfortunately, the show's not going to just, you know, kill a little... Yes, they did! Best scene of the season. They killed the girl.
It was the best scene of the season.
Carol. Oh, man. If there's anyone stepping up and showing that they do have balls, it's Carol. She killed Tyrese's girlfriend to save them from the virus, and she kills this kid. Oh, my goodness.
I give Carol props also for savviness. Because then, like, she goes and tells Tyrese, I did what needed to be done. Tyrese is a bit like, oh, man, that's rough. Not sure I could have done that. But I sort of understand how, like, in situations like this, you need to kill people. Like, she's like, by the way, I also killed your girlfriend when she had the flu. My bad. I'm sorry.
So, it's interesting that you agree with that, that she needed to die. Very similar situation happened a little bit ago when I also murdered your girlfriend.
Yeah.
You just said you agreed with it. You can't be mad at me now.
Yeah, so he's obviously a bit angry, but he can't really, like, kill her or anything. Like, he's sort of, like, being, like, bamboozled. Do you know what would be funny? If next season we saw, like, a flashback episode to that scene and it was, like, Carol murders the little girl and sets up Lizzie?
Oh, man. Carol's just gone from weak, abused housewife to strong, ballsy, almost arguably best leader of the group to criminal mastermind.
But anyway, I that was very smart of her. And look, we were quite critical of Carol killing the girlfriend last season. And I still don't think that was the right thing for her to do.
I didn't think it was necessary.
I think the flu, the horse had left the barn. But huge props to her for this second half of the season. Let's move along to Beth and Daryl. I don't think there's heaps to talk about with these guys, but
not
they
a
sort
lot.
Of hang out for a bit.
Daryl, I'd say, is one of my favourite characters on the show. I usually agree with his stance when it comes down to group arguments. He's pretty cool. He's got the crossbow and stuff. He's a bit of a redneck, but you like him. And they've paired him with probably the most dispensable, boring character on the show. Like, what has Beth done? Like, once a season, they get her to sing a song. She's basically there just for reaction shots. Like, someone dies, she cries. You know, they gave her a boyfriend for, like, half an episode. They kill him off, she cries. That's sort of the extent of her whatever she gives to the show. So they go around, she wants to have some alcohol, they bitch and argue, they shack up at a place, walkers come, and then she just bails. She just gets off in a car and drives away.
I'm wondering if she was kidnapped.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's likely. Yeah, we don't actually know, but I can't see why she would just bail on Daryl. He did say, run, go, just make a getaway. But no one in The Walking Dead ever actually does that.
Yeah, and it was a bit suspicious how all those walkers rocked up at once. I wondered if that was a bit of a trap or something.
Who would it have been?
So maybe jumping the gun a bit. Maybe the Terminus
maybe
people.
Maybe the people from Terminus is what I was going to say.
Maybe. But, you know, we don't know. They didn't really show us what happened with Beth and things. So it's also like very Walking Dead-ish just for a whole bunch of zombies to rock up for no reason. So we'll see. There was a car driving on, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that adds a lot of fuel to the kidnap theory, right? So, anyway, and so, Daryl and the girl, what's her name again?
Beth.
It seemed like something was going on with them. Again, the couple, they're together, they're alone, it's the end of the world. It seemed like they were going pretty fond of each other.
Yeah, I could have seen that happening if they spent a bit more time together.
Mm.
It's inevitable, man. Just put two people in a room. After long enough, they're going to bang.
You can do worse than Beth, too. She could play the guitar, she could sing, she's like, you know, seems like a nice enough kid.
And she could do worse than Daryl. I said I'd bang Daryl over Rick and Carl, so.
I think this is a good, they've done well, yeah. But I'm glad it didn't happen because I don't really want to see Walking Dead turn into a whole bunch of couples on the road. Like,
Amazing Race couples season.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So Daryl gets, he wanders off and he gets picked up by a sort of bikey looking gang. I thought the leader of that group was quite a good actor. I found him quite interesting. Not a lot goes on there. Daryl's not too prepared to just be like, oh great, I'm with you guys now. He's kind of a bit standoffish and he has these arguments with this douchey guy. You know, they're kind of bad guys, but they just have a couple of rules, which is basically don't lie. Don't steal.
And claimed.
Claim. You claim before I claim.
I got it.
And I guess they end up meeting up with Rick, Carl, and Michonne. Because while they had been holed up somewhere, these people came in. Rick killed one of them for them to get away. The guy that he killed was in this biker group. So they're looking for revenge on them for killing their friend. So they take them hostage. They're going to kill Rick. He's holding a gun to his head. And then Daryl's like, no, don't do that. And then it turns into this kind of skirmish.
Should Daryl have come out and said, claim? I'm not sure if I heard that somewhere else. So I'm not sure if that's mine or I just made that up. But
he should have been like, claim. Like, what do you claim? I claim the kill. Let me kill him. And he gets the gun, and instead of killing it, just shoots everyone else.
Yeah.
That would have been a good play. But they managed to get out of it anyway. And Rick loses it. After everybody's already...
Oh, yeah.
Already killed, Rick takes a knife to the guy that was pinning down Carl, and he just guts him. And you just think it's going to be a stab, but no. Then he just rips open his whole stomach, and then he just starts stabbing him. And that wet, bloody, pounding, stabbing sound you just hear over and over and over again. Man, that was brutal.
I know if I'm in a zombie apocalypse, I'm very worried about the blood, because I'm not sure exactly how this sort of transfer of whatever, like, happens with scratching and biting, and that, like, I feel like sometimes they kill zombies more messily than I would ever think of doing it, because I'd be, like, worried, like, I don't really know how this works, like, what if a bit of blood gets into my fingernails, and,
in
like,
my eye.
That zombie blood, or, yes, but it's in my eyes, that counts, like, I know... Like, you know, you can get AIDS with stuff like that. Is that how the zombie thing transfers? I'd be very paranoid about all this. But I'd be like, quick, guys, wash our hands. Let's find a lake. Let's, like... But.
Well, it might have been reckless, but at least he showed Carl he wasn't a pussy anymore.
So they then meet up. They're a team, so they're great. Then who's next?
We've got Maggie and Glenn are separated. And they're both trying to do the same thing.
Let's not talk about Sasha and Bob. I've got nothing to say about Sasha and Bob. Let's just talk about the whole Glenn and Maggie thing. Yeah.
Like, Maggie, you're going off on your own, but we're going to help, bloody, bloody, blah, whatever. They're both just trying to get to each other, and they both think that's going to be at Terminus.
Yeah. There's all these signs up for this Terminus place. I guess, where else do you go?
Those who arrive survive. Yeah,
we've got a catchphrase. They seem pretty organized.
So they introduced this, is it episode 2, fairly early on in the season. I felt like this was very Lost-esque. Mm. It's like a bit of a mystery. Oh, you get here, and something interesting will happen.
Yeah, what's down the hatch? Could be bad, could be good. We've got to find out.
When you do that, it better be interesting. If you're going to make us wait a whole season to get there. So basically nothing really interesting happens on Maggie's side.
Nothing. She's just going to Terminus the whole time.
Glenn's side, him and Tara...
Some pretty interesting stuff happens.
The girl that feels guilty about being with the governor, she helps him. But they bump into this military group.
By group we mean three people.
Three people, yes. One of whom... is this redneck guy with a mullet who supposedly knows how to cure the virus, the disease, stop the outbreak? Zombies?
Yes, this was fascinating.
This was bizarre. A, because I thought maybe like a doctor or someone would figure it out, not this random hit guy that panics and shoots up their own truck when a couple of walkers come by.
Maybe he is a doctor.
Well, you certainly shouldn't judge someone's ability to be a doctor based on their accent or haircut. But when you combine that with the repeated idiocy that he displays this season, makes me wonder how he passed the GAMSAT or the whatever medical test you need to do to become a doctor.
Well, the gun thing, I think, like, he can't use a gun very well. It's not really... Like, I definitely am not blaming him for the truck.
What do you mean? That's beyond ridiculous.
I'm blaming Glenn for distracting, like, everyone.
No. Also, that's another thing. The amount of times where some walkers have been coming and people arguing, like, guys, hey, guys, 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 listen. Oh, it's too late. You didn't listen because now the walkers are on me. Oh my gosh, like, surely if you're in the zombie apocalypse and someone ever says anything with any remote amount of panic in their voice, it's gonna be walkers. You turn around and you stop your petty argument. Anyway, he freaks out and shoots up their own truck. He doesn't know how to use a map. He has no social skills.
Yeah. But he might just be brilliant at science.
Well, the show would be able to convince me of that if they gave us any inkling into A, who he was, and B, how he knows how to stop or cure this. But of course they don't. They just want to tease it out, make you wait all season. Spoiler alert, even at the end of the season, we still don't know anything about it.
Well, do you know whose fault that is? It's Glenn's. Okay, right. I'm on The Walking Dead. I'm a guy, and I meet these three people who go, "Hey, come with us, kid. This guy, we're going to Washington. We need all the men we can. This guy knows the cure." I'm going,
"What's the cure?"
This sounds like, if true, is much more important than anything else I've got going on. Like, I might be in love with Maggie, but it's probably more important that this thing gets cured than I track down this girl that might be dead anyway.
I don't think anyone would think like that if they were actually that in love. Like, I can see why he would just be like, "Look, I'll help you once I find Maggie, or you can help me find Maggie, and we'll be a team along the way." But what I can't understand is why you don't go, "Well, how, what, when, where, why?"
Yeah. And this is, again, not asking questions.
No one in this show asks questions.
I'd say, you've got an hour. If you can convince me that there's some validity to this claim, we're going to Washington and we're saving the world. But Glenn doesn't ask that. He's just like, "No, this is more important. I've got to, like, get to Terminus. I've got to go to Maggie." I'm like, "You've got someone for 4 seasons. We've got someone that's claiming they know how to fix everything. And you seem the least interested in anything anyone's ever been, ever." It was so frustrating.
It was unbelievable.
So anyway, Glenn takes them all to Terminus.
Yeah, he goes
to
Bail down the tunnel. The girl decides to 127 hours herself, pulls a James Franco, gets caught under the falling rock, but out of nowhere, the military guys that have met up with Maggie and Sasha and Bob, bah, 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 shoot all the zombies, save the day, out of nowhere as usual, and they go to Terminus.
Again, this was pretty stupid on all of their parts, the Terminus thing. Would you go to Terminus if you were in the zombie apocalypse?
Sure.
Yeah, I would too. It's, you know, why not? But could be bad, could be good. You gotta take what you can get. But I feel like, especially with the Glenn group, where they've got a guy who is claiming to have the cure for the apocalypse, which, again, no one else seems that interested in when he's making this claim to other people. Like, everyone's just as disinterested as Glenn. Don't you send some people ahead of this guy to suss out Terminus and then send someone to get him? Rather than just bringing this guy who could save the world into this massive unknown location.
It's like playing a game of chess and leading with the king. It's like, you send out some pawns. If the pawns get mowed down, you go, "Okay, we need a different strategy. That was no good."
Right, yeah, Glenn and Maggie are dead. Let's have a cry about that. They weren't really bringing much to the table anyway.
Yeah, baffling. So at the end of the second last episode, they get to Terminus. The last episode, we follow Rick, Carl, Michonne, and Daryl as they get to Terminus. And they get to Terminus, and everyone's really nice. And they all went together, but at least they showed a little bit of foresight in being skeptical about Terminus. Mm. But they're really nice. They go, "Oh, let us just check your weapons. Oh, no, you can keep your weapons." And then Rick spots a pocket watch. He goes, "Oh, that looks familiar. What's going on in here? And what about that poncho? And what about that riot gear? And
from the prison we were just at.
The jig is up." And everyone pulls their guns. You go, "Oh man, that first group, they just got lynched by the Terminus people."
Yeah.
And it becomes the most ridiculous, stupid shootout as they run away. And, like, there are people shooting automatic weapons at them from about 15 meters away and just can't hit anything.
I don't think they're trying to hit them.
Yeah, they better not have been.
Yeah.
They run through some weird thing with all these candles. Were you able to make sense of that room?
I think for all the people these Terminus guys have killed, maybe they put a candle in there or something. That's my best guess.
What is the purpose of Terminus? Okay, because, you know, they've taken these guys and, you know, things have gone wrong. They're obviously not just a nice, lovely sanctuary. What do you think is the purpose of Terminus?
Okay, this is a theory I think I heard in another podcast, Rob's podcast. He was on our Game of Thrones Season 2 cast, so I don't want to take credit. But the theory I heard on that was maybe, I'm not sure if this is a theory they believe or just a speculation, maybe they're getting people and then killing people for the meat.
Yeah, they've decided, you know what, as healthy and as sustainable as being a vegetarian is, I really just need a burger every now and again. And if that means that I have to start killing some of the only remaining humans in the world after the zombie apocalypse, I'm going to take that route, because what's the point of surviving the zombie apocalypse if you can't have a cheeseburger?
They did have a pretty sweet barbecue going when Rick rocked up. And they sort of also, like, Rick sort of, like, twigged right before Carl was about to, like, take a bite or something. And he's like, wait, don't eat that. I think there's definitely something going on with the food, whether they're people or they're putting poison in the food or something. I don't know. It just seemed like the way that no one actually had any of the barbecue might be important.
Hmm. I had a theory, and I'm not strongly attached to this theory because they didn't give us much to go on. But when I saw the candly thing and the stuff written on the wall, it seemed a bit culty. It seemed a bit religious. And I couldn't really read a lot of what happened. But somewhere it said never again. So to me, I thought that this was perhaps some sort of cleansing thing, that they were maybe just rounding up people and just killing them as part of, you know, yeah, this is the apocalypse. We need to wipe the slate clean, make sure everyone has died.
Yeah.
And then the world can start anew, or some kind of crazy hippie cultish thing like that.
That's interesting. That's interesting. We'll have to see. But yeah, it was, do you think Rick handled this? Like, do you reckon the Rick team handled this pretty poorly?
Yeah. When something's suspicious, you just act along and just go, oh yeah, sure. Thanks for the burger, mate. And then, like, when you're about to go to bed, hey guys, that was Herschel's pocket watch, or whoever's, like, pocket watch it was. We need to get out of here. And then you slip out in the night. You don't make a big show of it while you're surrounded by everyone.
Yeah. You've got to think of a plan. You don't just start going ballistic. Like.
So they run, they get surrounded, they get trapped, and then in this kind of strange fashion, they say, oh, I want you in this order. Rick, and then crossbow guy, samurai lady, and then the kid, and they make them get into this box container, and inside the box container is the rest of the gang, and they all look kind of defeated. They're like, oh man, we came to Terminus and they just locked us up in this box, man. But then Rick's like, man, they don't even know. Rick, what don't they know?
Yes,
they're screwing with the wrong people. End of season. End of season. What an epic one-liner. The gung-ho, motivational, they're screwing the wrong people. Just to get you super hyped for like a 3-month, 4-month wait for season 5 of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, like, I really thought, like, there was going to be a bit of a twist or something at the end with that line. Like, I don't know what
I've set off all these explosives, and closing the door to the container is going to set off all the explosives, and we're just going to walk out of the container.
There's going to be something like, you know, he had a grenade in his pocket or something. I don't know, just something. Like,
jump the shark. Walking Dead has jumped the shark.
Do you think that was the moment where it jumped the shark, that line? Like, I'm just going to go, because I think it was a bit before that.
I hated the whole season, to be honest, but if you're going to pick a point, if I'm being honest, this is part of the reason why it took me so long to watch the series. I mean, I haven't had a lot of time during the move, but if I loved the show, I would have found the time. You know, if this was season 2 of Boardwalk Empire, I would have skipped a few showers.
How long are your showers?
They'd add up, you know. I'd skip 8 showers to watch an episode of Boardwalk Empire. It was such a grind. Some episodes, just nothing happened. Some episodes, it was just weird stuff. Like, they'd introduce new things to the show that didn't happen before, like narration and flashbacks and dream sequences. I'm like, you're messing with the show. This is so off-putting. Terrible dialogue. The dialogue's always been kind of bad in The Walking Dead, but it's just more grating than ever. Carl, I just want to smack in the face. Lizzie, I just wanted to smack in the face. And that's the highlight of the season. Carol shooting Lizzie is the only great scene of the season.
Yeah, look, here's, I think, the problem with Walking Dead. It's so like, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
No, all there is just get to Terminus. If that's your whole season, get to Terminus, there better be something pretty bloody damn interesting when you get to Terminus.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of people walking around train tracks and stuff, and the problem is the characters aren't interesting enough, and the dialogue isn't interesting enough that's enough for me to want to watch Walking Dead. Like, I want this to be a plot-driven show, not a character-driven show. Like, you know, I really hope next season that, like, they break out of Terminus and then they just go to Washington with those people. Because then there's at least something we're working towards that's interesting. Like, what's going to happen when they get to Washington? Like, does this guy know the cure? But what's probably going to happen is that guy's just going to die halfway through next season and we're never going to find out anything about what he knew or didn't know.
Yeah, you can't just tease us with these empty questions about, you know, how did this guy find the cure? What's at Terminus? Especially when there's nothing to keep you going. Even the action, you know, them killing zombies isn't exciting anymore because it's season 4. We've seen them kill zombies. There's little to no redeeming features in the show anymore. Like, if we weren't going to do a podcast on it, if this was just me just watching a show like a regular non-celebrity with a podcast, I would have given up on The Walking Dead.
I think it's fair enough. I probably would have. I don't know how invested I am. Like, but yeah, I do not think this is a good.
Are we gonna do a season 5 podcast? Because it's gonna be a slog to work up the motivation to start that season.
I have a lot of fun talking with you about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that was literally the only reason that I pushed through was to be able to do the podcast, because I knew the podcast would be far more entertaining than the show.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun the past hour. So I would vote for it. But, like, listeners, let us know. Do you want a Season 5 Walking Dead podcast or not? Like, you know, we'll listen to the feedback.
We're a community-driven podcast.
Yeah.
We might not love this season of The Walking Dead, but we do love our fans.
Yeah.
Verdict. I think we're at a verdict.
Let's give it a verdict. Yeah, we're pretty much at the end of the season. Well, we are. Jump the shark moment. I think maybe when the governor died. I don't think that was a bad moment, but I think it was the point at which the show sort of sucked.
I agree that the show went downhill from that point, but I think a jump the shark moment itself has to be bad. Like, it has to signify that. Whereas the governor dying wasn't bad.
You're saying that Fonzie jumping over the shark in Happy Days wasn't a great moment in and of itself?
Well, I found it entertaining.
Yeah, I quite like that. But no, point taken. I think go to season 2 for the jump the shark moment of Walking Dead. Okay, verdict.
I think I've said everything I have to say about the season. 3 out of 10.
I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 10. Is it just for the second half of the season?
Yeah, I just did it on the last 8 episodes.
Yeah, 4.5 out of 10.
Well, there you go. We brought The Walking Dead back from the dead, only to kill it with a pretty decisively negative review.
The ratings were great. It's rating very well, The Walking Dead.
Housekeeping. Well, from my end, just a bit of an update. I have now moved over to the US. I'm living in Los Angeles. By the beach, got a wonderful apartment with my wonderful girlfriend Bonnie, which you may remember from our Girls and Masters of Sex podcasts. got a job. It's all right. I'm a real person now, a proper adult, working 8:30 to 5, really just in order to get a bit of pocket change to fund my Screen Verdict career.
Good.
Screen Verdict still going strong. The cross-continental gap has only strengthened Screen Verdict. It's spread our podcast market share, our audience, bringing Screen Verdict joy and love to citizens around the world. And if you are one of those Screen Verdict citizens, you're going to be able to get your hands on some Screen Verdict merchandise very soon. If you head to facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast, you can see some examples of that merchandise, and I'm pumped. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, the paparazzi have been out catching us around, and yeah, it's just going viral. So we also had some listener feedback. So I might read this out. It was from the Facebook page. It's from Tom Dizzy Davis. Just listened to the Cloud Atlas review. Couldn't agree with Matt more. Pretty rubbish film. I thought that it was pretentious and overblow it. So thanks, Tom, for your comments.
It appears just like with the T-shirt incident involving who is Ryan Gosling and who is Macaulay Culkin, Matt has this turned around, because I believe if you read, just hit refresh and try and read it one more time. What does the comment say?
I'll read the real comment.
We wouldn't want to misquote Dizzy Davis and get sued.
Yeah, I not like to see him again. I might come out second best in a fight with Tom Dizzy Davis. Just listen to the Cloud Atlas review. Couldn't agree with Jono more. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought that there's some reincarnation-y stuff going on, though. I think the film was saying that it went both ways, too. Like, the past is connected to the future. For instance, the guy who became anti-slavery and the freedom fighter in the future were the same guy. Plus, we're both in relationships with the Asian chick, albeit in whiteface. So some insights there. Again, people scrambling to try and find meaning in the movie. But thanks for your comment, Tom, because I do love to hear from our listeners, even when they disagree with me.
Yes, Cloud Atlas, that was a fun podcast. Good movie. I agree. I think it was a lot to take in, that film. I actually agree with Dizzy on the reincarnation, and it's, I think perhaps it overwhelmed you, Matt. Perhaps weren't able to take in the breadth and depth of what that film had to offer. And maybe I didn't take it in it all either, but to me that was just a sign of its greatness. And, you know, perhaps that greatness was just too much for you.
Yeah, well, I hear you're going to be seeing it again soon, maybe with Bonnie, so it'll be interesting to see what she thinks of the film. Oh, and Tom Dizzy Davis has just commented an hour ago, you guys definitely had a Margaret and David moment on that one. So that's pretty cool. I don't think Margaret liked that movie, just remembering. I think definitely the Margaret in that.
Oh, no.
I just made that up. I've got no idea what even Anyway, I'm catching up with someone now.
Yeah, Matt has a real life friend other than me. So,
friend's a strong word, to quote Iago in The Return of Jabba.
Okay, well, I think that signifies it's time to wrap up this week's podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, even if you didn't enjoy this season of The Walking Dead. And we'll catch you on the podcast next week.
Yeah, see you guys. Bye.